We find our scripture this morning in Matthew's Gospel. This happens to be chapter 4 in verses 18 to 22. Matthew 4, 18 to 22. As Jesus walked along the shore of Lake Galilee, he saw two brothers who were fishermen, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew, catching fish in the lake with a net. Jesus said to them, "Come with me, and I will teach you to catch people." At once they left their nets and went with him. He went on and saw two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were in their boat with their father Zebedee, getting their nets ready. Jesus called them, and at once they left the boat and their father and went with him. These are the words of God given to you, his people. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Lord, would you be so kind as to move me out of the way of whatever message that you would care to put into the lives of these, your children, who listen today. For that I am grateful. In Jesus' name. This year was the first year in decades that I had to do the taxes. Barbie always took care of that. And so I teased everybody that pretty soon you'd have to pray because I'd be in jail. And then it turned out true. I've gotten no less than 5 phone calls telling me that the IRS is going to sue me for my taxes. The telemarketers are very interesting people, aren't they? Bless them. But they're not always so welcome in our homes, are they? And so I want to help you out with some ideas of what you can do if you really don't want to spend a lot of time talking to a telemarketer or on the phone. If one of them calls you and wants you to loan you money, tell them you're grateful for that because your bankruptcy has kind of caught you short on cash. If they start out asking you, "How are you today?" then be honest with them. Just tell them you're so glad that they called because hardly anyone cares about anybody else in these days. And let them know about all of your problems, that your arthritis is acting up, that your eyelashes hurt and are very sore, and that your dog has run away. You can ask them to fax the information. And then just make up a telephone number. I like this one. You can just tell them in a very hushed voice, "How do you bury a dead body in the crawl space?" And then, of course, there's the ever ready, when as soon as they start and they pause for a breath, you just tell them, "That is why the tuba is the most important instrument ever." If they want you to sign up for a credit card, just politely ask them, "Does that mean I have to cut it in half like the last guys?" And then if they carry on too long, just ask them, "Can you smell bacon? There's an odor of bacon coming from my phone. Can you smell bacon?" And then one more. I like this one a lot. As soon as they start, just very cheerfully say, "Welcome to Baskin-Robbins, the home of 31 flavors. If you can name 31 flavors in the next 31 seconds, you will win $31. Start now." We tease about that, don't we? But you know something? This caller ID that we have on all of our phones is very helpful because you can see who is calling before before you answer, and you can choose to answer it or not. But you have to remember, you have no control whatsoever of people calling you at any time. So today we're going to talk about an important call that came in any time for some men. It was Jesus that was calling. This was on the Sea of Galilee. All of these men were fishing. So I wonder if we're going to speak about fishing today. Has anyone here ever gone fishing anywhere, anytime in their life? Now, of those of you who have gone fishing, how many have caught a fish? Okay, almost all of you. Fishing was not an easy job in Jesus' day. Peter and Andrew had been fishing that day before Jesus came upon them. As we meet them in the scriptures, they would use a round net. It was about 15 feet in diameter. They would pick it up and they would spin it, much like you would spin a pizza crust, but it was 15 foot big. You'd then toss that out into the water. It would sink down, and then you would retrieve it. And like pulling a parachute back up, you really hope there's some fish in the net. And then you would do that over and over and over, sometimes for hours. Fishing was usually done at night on the Sea of Galilee. It was better than that. So picture this, that 15-foot diameter pizza crust. We'll throw it, we'll retrieve it, we'll throw it. Fishing was a lot of hard work. There was James and John and their father that were fishing that day, or going to be going fishing that day also. They were getting their nets ready. They had a different pattern. They were going to use two boats. The net that they would use would be about 100 foot long, and they would drag that through the water for hours. So every time they came back, the nets weren't that sturdy. Every time when they got ready to go fishing, they would have to fix the nets. And so that's what they were doing that day when Jesus approached them. I can only imagine how long a day that is. Spend your daylight hours, fix the nets. Spend your nighttime hours dragging it through the water to catch fish. These men knew exactly what to do with their lives. This was their occupation. Fishing was the biggest thing on the whole Sea of Galilee. And they knew what was going on with their lives. I doubt that they had any inkling that there would be a call asking them to change their lives, and a call that would come from Jesus himself. You see, when Jesus came, when he started his ministry, he was announcing that the kingdom of God had come. The kingdom of heaven was at hand, and he was inviting these men in this call to join him in proclaiming this good news to all the countryside. And I want you to notice that when Jesus called those men in that day, they obeyed. They dropped everything that they were doing. They gave up what they knew, their lifestyle, their fishing lifestyle. They gave that up to follow Jesus as his disciples. And we might wonder why. Is it Jesus' charisma? Is it his miracles that caused them to follow? I think it was Jesus' authority. You remember other stories in the scriptures? When Jesus would talk, when Jesus would be in ministry, when Jesus confronted the demons, They all knew that he had the authority. And so these men could just know that it was the very best thing they could do to enter this life of discipleship with Jesus. By the way, that's still the way it works now in 2016. It's the way it's always worked. When Jesus calls, he will call you to do things for him at sometimes very, what you think, inappropriate times. At sometimes when you think it's very surprising times, but you'll be willing to say yes because you know him. It's the best thing, by the way, to obey immediately. Some of us have had to learn that the hard way. In the work that I do with the Board of Ordained Ministry in Wisconsin, I'm privileged to hear the stories of call that come from those who are wanting to become leaders in the Methodist Church in Wisconsin. In most cases, they will describe Jesus calling them, and they will tell you that they didn't answer right away. They didn't obey right away, and it causes me to ponder what the difference is. That those fishermen on that day, they obeyed immediately, and in our time, we're reluctant. I'm so glad that those folks have followed through on their call. In that call, Jesus, in a roundabout way, was making a promise to these men in a very new endeavor. Listen to the words again from verse 19 that we just read. Come with me, and I will teach you to catch men. You see, they already knew how to catch fish. And now they would bring more and more people into this wonderful life-giving relationship with the very Son of God. And we need to realize that this call that came on their lives came after a while when they had already known Jesus. That day on the Sea of Galilee was not the first time these men had met Jesus the Christ. John's gospel tells us that Andrew was one of two disciples of John the Baptist who had left John the Baptist and began to follow Jesus. And very quickly, Peter brought his brother to Jesus. The other unnamed disciple in John's gospel is, we understand that, as John himself. Now, it's likely that Andrew and Peter and John were with Jesus at the wedding in Cana. And you remember that miracle. They were there that day. They saw the water turning into wine because Jesus spoke it. And then from the time of the wedding on until that calling in Galilee, they had a chance to get to know Jesus, the man. And so they were ready. They were ready when Jesus called that day, ready to say yes, because they knew him. All of this is important because I want you to think back in your own personal life. When Jesus first called you to follow him in a whole new way, to give up some of the things in your life and to take on some new things. Were you ready when he called? Most likely it was a little bit of a surprise. And then as you followed sometime later, he began to ask you to do things, to be in ministry, maybe to help out in the church. Be an usher. Be one of the committee members. Be one of those who goes to the shelter and provides meals. And there again, you went a little bit nervous, but you were following God's call. But you went because you already knew him for a while. Sometimes this takes time. I know a man that had been called by Jesus to follow him, and he said yes. For over 20 years. And then at that point in knowing Jesus and following Jesus, Jesus asked him to do something. And to the man's delight, now he was ready. He was equipped, he was encouraged, and now he was ready to do the very thing that Jesus had in mind of him, for him. And yet it took 20 years of knowing Jesus before Jesus made that call to him. Now, just because it took this man 20 years before Jesus called him, I want you to know that it makes no difference if you have known Jesus a day or you have known him for 20 years. Jesus knows you, and he will call you to come with him in new ways in ministry. The fishermen on that day, had known Jesus, and they had already made a complete and personal commitment to him. Their allegiance to the Lord was a very decisive act in their lives. Even though they really didn't know everything that was going to happen, you and I have read the book, and look what they did in time. But they said yes before they knew it all. They were responding as best they could to what they knew of Jesus already. They trusted him to supply the rest of what they would need. And as a matter of fact, it would take the crucifixion and the resurrection and the ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit before they would fully understand the significance of Jesus being on this earth and the call upon their lives to share that news. We have a thing that's called the Great Commission. It's found in Matthew 28. It's the same thing that the disciples were working with. Listen to this. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to do everything Christ commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Do you know the missional statement of this church, of our church? It says, "In gratitude for God's love and grace, we exist to help all persons become God's children and to grow through faith in Jesus Christ." And as we live out that statement, do you hear the Great Commission? I certainly do. It's our work, it's our desire as Faith Community Church to bring people into a relationship with Jesus as his disciples and then to help them to grow in that. It's the same thing that those fishermen would eventually be asked to do. But I'm here to tell you that you cannot make disciples if you are not a disciple yourself. Have you responded to Jesus in his call that you would be his disciple? James and his brother John, along with Peter and Andrew, were the first disciples that Jesus called to work with him. Jesus' call motivated those men to get up and leave their jobs immediately. They didn't make excuses about why it was too hard or not possible for them to go. They just left, and they followed the Lord. None of us know if such a radical decision is required of us as we walk with Jesus in our lives today. Are we going to be called to leave our jobs and homes to follow Christ in his ministry and be a part of it? Well, apparently not everyone, because Jesus had many, many believers in that day, did he not? And the 12, only 12 that he called to begin it, were a very small number compared to all of the believers. Well, what about all the believers then? What about you and me if we're not called to leave everything we have and go? Oh, that's just God's plan, that we can share it in our small spheres of influence, share the wonderful news of Jesus the Christ right where we are. Even the 12, by the way, did not abandon their wives, their responsibilities as parents. But when Jesus calls, you and I have to spend some time evaluating. Is this the Lord? How will I do this? And then we need to remember the wonderful phrase, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There are some that Christ may choose, some to change their livelihoods and enter different fields of service for him. I'm so delighted that Dennis and Nancy are here. You didn't even know I put you in the sermon for today. I suspect that neither one of you, as you grew up and then came together as husband and wife, that one day God would call you, literally, to change your jobs, to go around the world, to bring the good news through Wycliffe Bible translators. And yet when the call came, they followed. If you don't know them real well, if you have not heard their story, oh, would you come talk to them during the coffee hour today? It's marvelous to hear. You see, the truth is all of us must be willing to answer God's call. And then we need to be prompt in responding to us when he asks. You have already admitted this morning that you're fishermen. Most everyone raised their hand. So I already know that you can catch fish. You're already equipped if Jesus comes and says, well, I'll show you how to catch people. I'll show you how to catch men and women for the kingdom of God. And I'll be with you the whole way. You don't have to do it on your own. I'll empower you. I'll teach you. And so I leave you with this one and only thought this morning. When Jesus makes that call on your life, just be prompt in answering it. It'll be a beautiful thing. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you ask of us little, and you also ask of us much. Either way, I just know you'll be with us, and you'll help us, and that will be all that we need. In Jesus' name, amen.